I never noticed this. In 35 years of preaching, I never noticed this. The prodigal son is in the hog pen. He left his home. He's taken his portion of the father's money, that which was his inheritance. He has spent all. He has wound up in the hog pen, eating the hogs, eating the husk that surrounded the corn he fed to them. And then the Bible says he came to himself. Now, I've noticed that, but never this. I checked the original language this week, and to my shock, it means he kept coming to himself. He kept coming to himself. It was not one time that he said, I realize I've come to myself. No, there's a wrestling here. He kept coming to himself. He blamed his dad. He said, my dad's been too strict. That's why I am in the shape I'm in. But he came back to himself. And he said, no, it's my fault. He came to himself and blamed himself. Perhaps he said his brother. He blamed his brother. And he said, I tell you, it's my brother. That fellow's the hardest guy to get along with in the world. He's the reason I'm in this condition. But he kept coming to himself. And he said, no, it's not mainly a brother's fault. It's my fault. He blamed his preacher, maybe. He said, that preacher, good night, he doesn't know when to quit, and he's always harping, he's too strict and got too many rules. Turn this down just about that much, please. And he said, no, it's not the preacher. He kept coming to himself. He tried to blame his dad, but he came back to himself. He tried to blame his mother, but he came back to himself. He tried to blame the school teacher, but he came back to himself. He tried to blame the church, but he came back to himself. He tried to blame the recession, maybe. He said, I don't know why I'm in this shape. I could have found a good job, but there's recession going on. And I just can't make a living during the recession. Here I am in the hog pen. And he said, it's a recession. It's the circumstance. It's society. It's the fact that the Democrats are in, Republicans are in, or that the high cost of living, or it's the fact of the gold standard and so forth. No, he said, that's not it. He kept coming to himself. He blamed his friends. He said, why? Nobody came to see me. Nobody has written me a letter. Nobody cares about me. That's why. But he came to himself. He kept coming to himself. He kept coming back. He got some sense. He quit blaming his dad because of his failure. He quit blaming his mom because of his failure. He quit blaming his church because of his failure. He quit blaming his school because of his failure. And he kept coming back to himself. Maybe he blamed the hypocrites in the church. He said, that's it. Bunch of hypocrites down. Now, the truth is, every single person who's a Christian is a degree of a hypocrite. None of us is like Jesus. We bear his name, Christian, Christian. But we're not like Jesus. We cannot be. We try, and all of us. And the church is not a museum where perfect relics come to examine each other's sanctification. The church is a spiritual hospital where sinners come to get strength and encouragement and help to serve God better. He blamed, no doubt he said, maybe he said, my mom pushed religion on me. I'll tell you what, I heard a child psychologist, a so-called an expert, had a hole in her head, but she said not long ago, she said the reason this boy turned against religion, his mom made him go when he was a boy. Oh, fully on that. His mom made him bathe, too. His mom made him brush his teeth, too. His mom made him quit pulling the pigtails of the girl who sat in front of him in class, too. His mom made him quit cussing, too. And maybe he said, that's why my mom forced religion down me when I was a boy. But he came back to himself. He tried to put the blame on his mama. He tried to put the blame on his daddy. But he kept coming to himself. Maybe he said, my daddy never taught me any character. Or dad never took me to a ball game. Or mama didn't give me enough cotton overall when I was a boy. Or when no one misses me anyhow. Or I was reared in the ghetto. Anybody knows you're reared in the ghetto. You can't amount to anything. I was reared in the ghetto. Now you quit that. You quit that. You come to yourself. You're never going to amount to anything. You come to yourself. And you look yourself in the eye and say, my success or my failure is not dependent solely or mainly on my mother. My Bible says so. Now then, every one of us must give an account of himself to God. And it is you, yourself. Now, granted, a good home can help you. A good dad can help you. A good mother can enhance your chances for success. But in the final analysis, the reason this prodigal son was in the hog pen, he came to himself. He realized that it was he himself that caused the trouble. And he kept coming back to himself. Now listen to me. If you fail and disgrace your name, it is yourself that's to blame. If you cannot support your family in this era, it is yourself you can blame. If you, I wonder, I find some Hiles Anderson College young men come and they find jobs and others don't find jobs. I wonder what it is. Oh, I know what it is. The school's got it against you. No, last Friday afternoon, I wanted to see the junior high boys play a basketball game, and boy, we got some junior high basketball team. We have a good high school basketball team, too, but those junior high boys, please do not walk around now while I'm preaching. I haven't got enough time to walk around. And but I went out, and Brother Dave went with me, and we went out there, and driving back, we saw a fellow had a short haircut, and we knew he was one of our guys, you know, and so we stopped to pay. He's hitchhiking. We stopped to pick him up, and David preached in chapel in college that day, and the guy said, Brother Dave, I was mighty proud of you today in chapel, and I reckon the Lord might have been proud of you too. And I said, boy, that's Texan if I ever heard it in my life. That's hillbilly. That's not educated talk. That's Texan talk. And I said, son, where are you from? He said, Irving, Texas. That's between Dallas and Fort Worth. And I said, where are you going? He said, East Chicago. He said, I work there. I said, you hitchhike to work? Yeah. Every day, hitchhikes to work. Now, you can't hitchhike from Crown Point to East Chicago and get one ride. Nobody's going from Crown Point to East Chicago unless he's hitchhiking. And no way. Every day. Now, some of you guys got to have an air-conditioned car to get a job. But there's some guys got enough character not to spend $200 a month on a car payment, $100 a month on insurance, $150 a month on gasoline. There's some fellas got enough character to say, I can make it. And if you don't make it, it's not the cause of the recession. You come back to yourself. The prodigal son said, I could blame my dad, but I came back to myself. I could blame my mom, but it kept coming to myself. I could blame the society, but it kept coming to myself. I could blame the teacher and the school, but it kept coming to myself. I could blame the preacher and the church, but it kept coming to myself. Oh, let me tell you something. If you leave here without your degree from Hiles Anderson College, it is yourself that caused it. If you go in the world and backslide, it is yourself. If you fail in your last work, it is yourself. And if you die and go to hell, it is yourself. The other day a fellow said to me, I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, I'm not sure whether I'm one of the elect or not. Don't you know what that does? That blames God for your going to hell if you die without God. That puts the blame on God. You won't go to heaven or hell depending on whether God has chosen you or not. God has chosen every single person in this room to receive His Son by faith as Savior. And if you do not receive Christ, if you do not walk the golden streets of glory someday, it is yourself. It's your pride. It's your unwillingness to bow your knee before God Almighty and receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. It is yourself. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that we ought to put our young people in the best environment and circumstances possible. I thank God for Christian dads and Christian moms. I thank God for character training and teaching on character. I thank God for good school teachers that are sincere and dedicated to the task of rearing young people. I thank God for the proper environment. I thank God for good heredity. But the honest, simple truth is, you quit dodging because you're in the ghetto. You quit dodging because your dad didn't take you to the ball game. You quit dodging because your mother was not affectionate. It is yourself. One lady said not long ago to me, young lady, been married about a year or two. Her husband said, my wife doesn't even want to kiss me. Said so. I brought her in. I said, why don't you want to kiss your husband? She said, well, my mother wasn't affectionate, and I got it from her. No, you didn't. You got it from the devil. Pucker, honey, pucker. I'm sick and tired of the society blaming everything. Here's a fella. He goes out and burns down half a town. But I couldn't help it. I was raised in the ghetto. Well, you could help it, too. You could help it. Now, I thank God for it, and I am for every kind of a aid to help our young folks grow up right. But I want to serve notice on you this morning that when you stand before God Almighty, the ghetto is not going to get an account for you. Now, I'm not scolding you. I'm simply saying, if you're a little child in the ghetto, you can do it. Your mom and dad divorced when you were 2 or 3 years of age, and your mom had to rear you, and you didn't have a dad to share with you the joys in life and the high days of your life. You can still do it. It is yourself. It is yourself. The prodigal son kept coming to himself. Now, I don't think he decided just like that to come home. I think he was there in the hog pen, and he said, boy, I tell you, if my dad had just been good to me and hadn't been such a heart, and he came back to himself. But if my mama had just not had so many hearts, and he came back to himself. But if my brother hadn't been the favorite, the pet, and he came back to himself. And if my teacher had just, and he came back to himself. And he came back to himself, and back to himself, and back to himself. Till finally it hit him. Basically, mostly, it is my fault that I'm here. I was the one that chose to go in the far country. I was the one that left home. I was the one that chose to go into sin. I was the one that spent all my part of my dad's inheritance. I'm the one that ended up in the hog pen. I am. He came to himself. A famous poet. I want to say Edgar Allan Poe. I'm not sure. It may have been Jack Hiles. One of the two. A famous poet had a dream. And in that dream, there was a veiled figure that was giving him trouble. He would reach out to take something to eat, and that veiled figure would snatch it out of his hand. He would get a job, and that veiled figure would cause him trouble and cause him not to work enough, and he'd get fired. That veiled figure, the figure of the veiled face, kept hounding him and causing him trouble. On his wedding day, the veiled figure stood there and sold clothes, the mouth of the preacher, so the preacher could not pronounce him as fiancé, husband and wife. And he reached out and grabbed that veiled figure and jerked the veil off the face and found it was his own face. You are your bitterest enemy. Dwight L. Moody said, I have had more trouble with myself than any other man I ever met. Milton said, myself am hell. And I say this morning, poor child in this room with not the advantages of others, you're a bit embarrassed this morning about the clothes that you wear. You have no little frills on your dress. You have no little beautiful, shiny, new patent leather shoes. Your hair is not curled by a loving mother's hand. You came on a bus this morning, and nobody much cares whether you live or die back at home. I have news for you. You yourself can rise above your environment and can mount out for something and do something in your life. I think of that young man sitting here this morning. We picked him up out at the boys' home out in Crown Point or Maryville area, out the boys' home. He had no home. He was living like an animal with a bunch of guys, and we met him, found him out there. One of our lovely families almost took him under their wing and did for a while. That little boy had to learn almost how to use table manners and dress properly. And we took that little boy, and God helped him, and that little boy raised himself and decided to go to Hiles Anderson College and did and graduated and decided to go back and then did and graduated. He's a Latino of some sort. I'm not sure what he is, Puerto Rican or Texan or something. I'm not sure. But he decided to enroll in Hiles Anderson College again, and he did, and got his master's degree. Now he's one of the most valued staff members we have at Hiles Anderson College. He didn't have the chances that I had. He didn't have the chances that your boy had. He didn't have the chances that your kid or the chances that you had, son. He didn't have those chances. But he said, I myself can make it. I can. I will. He did. I'm thinking this morning about that little young lady came on a bus. Arlene Beck came on a bus years ago. One of the bus kids.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the Buleys brought her, I'm not sure, on a bus. And she grew up coming on a church bus here to our Sunday school, and then she decided to, she could do something for herself, and she went to Bob Jones University. It's back in the days before there was a Hiles Anderson College. And with Bob Jones University, and she, while she's down there, she's making good, and suddenly they found out she had cancer. And yet she went right ahead, and God healed her of her cancer, and then she finished at Bob Jones University. I think she came back to Hiles Anderson, if I'm not mistaken, and got a degree here also. Now she's one of our most important school teachers in Hammond Baptist Grade School. I'm saying it will help you to have a good home and help you to have a good loving dad and loving mother and good environment. But bless your little pea-picking heart, there's not a person in this room from the Rescue Mission men who sit up here this morning, to the deaf folks that sit back here, to the bus kid in the farthest corner, or the teenage young person who comes out of the ghetto. There's not a one of you this morning. But what you cannot say, for the grace of God, I'll come to myself. I myself can accomplish something in life and make myself something. I am sitting over here this morning, a little tricycle. How old are you, Phyllis? 37 years of age. How tall are you? 2'10"? 2'10". Did you graduate from college? You did? She graduated from college riding a little tricycle up and down the hallway. Can you imagine how many folks have looked at her and said, I wonder how old she is? I think it was, I'm not sure. It may have been one of our grandkids that wanted to play dolls with you, was it? Who? My grandkids. Phyllis was in the same room, and they brought the dolls over to Phyllis. Thought Phyllis was a little girl and wanted to play with her. And you imagine the embarrassment. Now, if anybody in this room could have said, I can't do it. I mean, the circumstances of my life. I'm a little old midget and I can't walk. And 2'10", and I can't do it. Phyllis, I want to tell you something. If you had failed in life, then yourself mainly to blame. You could have blamed your size. You could blame the circumstances. But mainly yourself. It's time that some of you folks decided to look at yourself. Come to yourself. My mother looked at me when I was the light of a kerosene lantern when I was a boy. My mother used to say, son, it's up to you. It's up to you. She'd look at me beside the heat of a wood stove in a little two-room shack with an outhouse in the backyard, and she'd say, son, it's up to you. She'd look at me as we waited on Harwood and Commerce Street in Dallas, Texas, for a drunken father and husband to meet us there, who never showed up. Would get on the streetcar at midnight, the last streetcar that would run back to Trinity Heights in Dallas, and ride home wondering where Daddy was, and Mother look at me with tears streaming down her face, and she'd say, son, it's up to you. She'd look across an empty table at meal time with nothing to eat, and she'd say, son, it's up to you. She looked at me as she put cardboard in my shoes and tried to keep my feet from touching the cold, wet ground. And she'd say, son, it's up to you. She'd look at me as she stuffed newspaper in the broken window because we couldn't afford to have the pane put back in. And she'd say, son, it's up to you. She looked at me one day as we said goodbye to my father, who left our home and broke our home, and Mother and I left alone. She looked at me and she said, son, it's up to you. We do not have what others have. We can't dress like others dress. We have no car to drive like others have. We have no nice furniture like others have. We have no wardrobe of clothes like others have. We have no cupboard full of food like others have. But she said, it's up to you, and it is up to you. Rise up and realize you can do something mighty, and you can be a success, and you can do something for good and for God. It's up to you. The prodigal son said, kept coming to himself. He could have said, but he came to himself. He could have said, my, but he came to himself. Come to yourself, college student. Come to yourself. Not because your dad doesn't want you to go to college, that you fail. Not because nobody taught you character. And once in a while, some student comes to me, a young man says, Brother House, I'm failing 5 out of 6 courses, but it's because I wasn't taught any character. You got problems, fella. No, it's yourself.
Don't you blame your dad because you failed. It's yourself. Yourself. Come to yourself and grasp the truth. Come to yourself, college wife. Come to yourself, deaf person. Come to yourself, mission man. Come to yourself, rearing your children alone.
The ladies bring their kids by the office and say, "Preacher, would you just take a few minutes with them so they'll get to know a man?" They come to the Colston's office and say, "Brother Colston, my children want to spend a few minutes get to know a man." So he brings them down to my office. And they say, "Brother House, could you just say hello to them?" And they say, "Sometime, Brother House, how can I make it by myself?" Well, lady, it's not easy, and I'm not minimizing your problems and burdens. But I'm here to serve notice on you that God will never put a load on you that is too heavy for you and God to bear together. You'll not do it. And I want to point to the 93-pound lady, 93-year-old lady here, lower 93 pounds. I want to point to her this morning and let you know by the authority of what I saw her do, you can do it. You can do it. Quit trying to blame somebody else. But you say, "Brother House, I'm a widow, and I'm rearing the children by myself." Yes, I know that. Think what the widows are doing in Haiti this morning for their children. Think what the widows are doing over in Southeast Asia for their children. Think what the widows in India are going through. Why don't you stop and say, "Blessed be God. God's mighty good to me." Let others sympathize with you, but don't you indulge in the weakness of self-pity. Come to yourself. Come to yourself, backslider. Come to yourself, unsaved person. Come to real reason. What you say, "I'll tell you, I knew I had a preacher one time, and I found out he was a dirty crook, and that's why I'm not a Christian." No, you're not a Christian because you've got a black heart and because you've never taken time to come to Jesus Christ. I can see my college president years ago sitting in a restaurant. His name was H.D. Bruce, sitting in a restaurant. A little waitress came up and said, "I'll take your order." And Dr. Bruce, the president of the college I attended, said, "Little waitress, are you a Christian?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Why?" And she said, "If you had to wait on all those Baptist people like I do, you wouldn't want to be a Christian either." And Dr. Bruce looked at her and said, "Little lady, I know you've found a lot of fault with us Baptists, but have you found anything wrong with Jesus lately?" And she began to cry and she said, "No, I haven't found anything wrong with Jesus." And she said, "If more of your people would be like him, more of our people would want to become more like your people." The reason you're not saved this morning is not your mother's fault. It's not the hypocrite's fault. It's the fact that you yourself have never taken time to come to know Christ as Savior. You've never said, "I will receive him." The prodigal son came to himself, and he kept coming to himself, and he tried to get away, but he came back to himself. And you come back to yourself this morning. 22 years ago, next August, I walked in this church for the first time and became its pastor. First year I was here, I think we averaged 715 in Sunday school. The second year I was here, we grew from 715 to about 715. Marvelous growth. I almost became a so-called deeper life preacher and shared the sermons on why it's wrong to grow. I blamed everybody in the world. I blamed the Yankees. You can't understand, folks. My entire church family in Texas was named Johnson and Smith and Jones. I used to look at the Notre Dame football lineup and see names like yours, Mayor. It looked like to me the menu in a Polish restaurant. I couldn't believe folks were called that. Raskowski. You can't understand. That sounds normal now, but 22 years ago, everybody's Jones or Smith or Johnson. That sounds like they came from Lower Slavovia. I'd see the Notre Dame football team. They'd play SMU, have the lineups in the paper.
took that wide a space for the SMU lineups and that wide Notre Dame lineup. I blame the Yankees. In those days, I didn't care much about Yankees because there was a certain place that I wanted Yankees all to go. I won't tell you where it is, but I'll tell you that it wasn't heaven. And we don't believe in purgatory in a Baptist church, so... of course, some of the dearest and sweetest folks on the face of the earth are people they've never seen south of the Mason-Dixon line. A little ignorant about some things, but no, it wasn't the Yankees' fault. I blame the weather. Oh, my soul. I didn't even own an overcoat. Car broke down over this bridge going over the Borman Expressway on Columbia. My car broke down. And it looked down just before it got to the top of the hill. I couldn't push it up to the top, so I could roll it down to the bottom so I could go to the service station. I got off and walked over that bridge, and it was below zero, and I was about to freeze. But I went on through thick and thin, as soon as I got the car fixed, I went down to Minus' department store, and I got me an overcoat. I blame the weather. Nobody go to church with 20 inches of snow on the ground, 20 below zero. I blame the weather. And then one day, it dawned on me. I came to myself. Why didn't the church grow? Why weren't folks flocking to hear me preach like they do now? Why? I came to myself. I had in my heart, right here, bitterness toward a man in Texas. And as soon as I got it right, the old church began to go. A problem? I didn't come to myself. The success? The answer? I came to myself. I came to myself. Isaiah said, woe is me. Paul said, a wretched man that I am. James said, from whence cometh wars within us. He came to himself. And he kept coming to himself. I'm talking to somebody this morning who's been a failure and you blamed everything in the world. It's yourself. Come to yourself. Keep coming to yourself. Mayor, I've prayed for you many times in the last few months. You've had problems and burdens like most anyone in the public eye has. The honest, simple truth is, the answer is just to be sure yourself is right. Just be sure yourself is right. I cannot make you love me, but I can be sure that myself loves you. I cannot keep folks from talking about me negatively, but I can be sure I don't talk about them negatively. Myself! And the blessings of God Almighty on this preacher or on your life do not depend on what others say of you, but have you come back to yourself. He kept coming to himself. So this morning, I say there's not a man sitting up here from the rescue mission who cannot, in himself, with the help of God, rise above life's adversities and difficulties and do something for God. And there's not a little 5'2" preacher boy at Hiles Anderson College this morning who dreads, who'd rather wrestle with a rattlesnake than to give a speech in speech class in college. Not one of you! What doesn't have in yourself, with the help of God Almighty, what it takes to do something for God. And there's not one little poor kid sitting in this audience this morning who cannot do something worthwhile for God and mankind if he will come to himself. Himself! Quit excusing yourself! Quit blaming somebody else! Come to yourself. Father, bless the message.